Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to another episode of Blue Collar BS. And when you're tuning in today, just buckle up because this is not our average show. Today's guest, a total badass, a Gen X legend, a retired law enforcement captain with over 30 years on the job, and now she's out making sure you stay safe at home, work, and everywhere in between. It is Catherine Tremboli. She knows what it means to walk into a room and own it. And she's here to tell you how you can do the same without a badge or a gun. Not quite as fun.
You know what, Brad? Some people retire and hit the golf course. Or, I mean, you just hit the golf course right now. But Catherine, nah. She's out there training women, business leaders, and workers on personal safety, situational awareness, and just straight up not being an easy target. We're talking home security, workplace safety, and how not to be that person staring at their phone while someone's lifting their wallet, which, you know, by the way, I did witness when I was in London. But that's another story for later. So whether you're working in the trades, own a business, or just want to walk through a parking lot without feeling like a sitting duck, Catherine's got something for you.
And let's be real, Steve, most people think that'll never happen to me until it does. So Catherine's been inside the system, knows what criminals and how criminals think. She knows how workers in blue-collar industries are targeted on job sites, parking lots, and even in their own homes. And she's here to drop some knowledge bombs with you today that you don't want to miss. So do yourself a favor, stay tuned, pay attention, and for the love of all things blue-collar, stop being oblivious to the world around you.
Let's get into it. Catherine Tremboli, welcome to Blue Collar BS Podcast. Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, Brad. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am wonderful, Mr. Stephen Doyle. I am absolutely fantastic. And for our listening audience, as you watch these clips and see these things, just know that Mr. Doyle's annoyed because he did something stupid to his own computer screens and his own things. And
yeah,
paying attention to detail might matter, don't you think?
Might matter to some people. At some point, I'll get it through my head. But, you know, just a PSA out there for everyone is don't set a piece of stapled material inside your on your keyboard and then shut your cover, your laptop cover, because you might crack a screen and not be able to use or see shit. So just FYI.
Right.
Having fun with that.
Yes. Pay attention. Details matter, right?
Yeah, details matter. Those details matter. So, Brad, who do we got on the show today?
Oh, it turns out we have the sister of a friend of mine on top of it that we just found out pre-show, Catherine Tremboli, retired law enforcement captain with over 30 years of experience providing expertise in that providing personal safety protection and security services tailored for women and families. She's focused on empowering individuals to feel confident and safe and secure in their everyday lives. Just to have that peace of mind. She's driven professional, servant leadership, fun individual, has her shit together, knows what she's talking about. Slightly off topic for our normal show, but we felt it was important for people to understand how safety and awareness across all generations is so important. So, Catherine, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So, Catherine, before I forget, which generation do you fit in or identify with?
I'm a Gen Xer.
Hell yeah.
Says the millennial.
Oh, fuck off.
Definitely Gen X. You know, the great music. Yeah.
Boss.
Drinking out of the water hose.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Come home when the streetlights are on.
Correct.
That's right.
Nope. No helmets on our bikes.
No helmets on the bikes.
No helmet. No participation medals.
Nope. You lose, you go home crying. Save exactly. The trauma for your mama because she didn't want to hear it, loser.
You're right. I'll give you something to cry about. That generation.
That's right.
So how did you find your passion for personal safety through your years of law enforcement?
I would say working with, I've been blessed and fortunate enough to work with in so many different divisions with so many different people. I started out in the jails working with inmates. That's kind of where you learn how to talk to people, and then moved on to as a deputy, as a sergeant, as a lieutenant, and then as a captain. So in the supervisory roles, getting to see and kind of help the individuals, both the ones that are working for you and then people that you come in contact with. But one thing that I noticed, I mean, I have two brothers. I grew up with tough love. I grew up with boy cousins. So I kind of grew up with that like edge, and I'm a little spicy. I'm an Italian. So
I didn't notice
myself in a way where I'm like, hey, you know, I'll give it right back to you. But I noticed that a lot of women are not like that. And I think they lack confidence. And I think some of it is, I think it's kind of twofold. Some of it is they're taking care of everybody else all the time, and they feel like they come last, right? They're like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And then some, I think, just don't think that they believe that they're worth it or that they deserve it. And I feel like the more empowering women you can get together, there's safety in numbers, the better it is. And I feel like my passion came from, I really want to help them to understand. And what I would see a lot of the deputies or the police officers that would retire, males, and they would start a business, and then they were serving males. So they're working with other males, where some of the females maybe not sign up for them because it's easier to relate to and talk to a woman. So that's where a lot of it came from. And I mean, I love, you know, seeing how kids react or their families, or even like I have a niece and a bonus niece in college right now. One goes to Marquette University, downtown Milwaukee. One goes to UWM. So same thing there, you know, seeing the different things that they encounter.
Right.
So what have you seen generationally in terms of the need for safety?
I feel like, let's just talk about the now, right? The now mm-hmm. generation.
Correct. As otherwise known as Gen Z.
Yeah. You feel like all of them. You know, our generation, we didn't have our little smart, dumb devices in our hands all the time that we're constantly on them and distracting us. I mean, we probably had other distractions. But, you know, traveling to and from, whether it's walking down the street, going somewhere, we're so distracted all the time, right? Now it's all instant gratification, instant, like you can get the news right now. Oh, what time is it? Or what are you doing? Wait, I'll tell you right now. So we're so distracted. And I think all of those things play into having a situational awareness. In law enforcement, we call it situational awareness. All that means is you're aware of your surroundings. You're looking around. Like anytime I go in a place, and I think it's just habit because it's like built in our brains and our blood, I look around and then I people stand out. Like I would say, oh yeah, that guy with the blue hat and like bright yellow sweatshirt was sitting over in the corner. And
it's green, actually. It's Grinch green. Sorry.
It looks like that greenish yellow, like the highlighter marker, the green highlighter marker.
I noticed she was calling me out because I'm paying attention to the details.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard not to notice. You're the only one on here with a freaking lime green shirt.
Hey, he's trying to get sunshine somehow. It's in Wisconsin. I mean, like, there's no sun. It's a little dreary lately. I'm, you know, head on a swivel, we say, right? So you're looking around and like pick out. And a lot of that is in law enforcement, we tell people be a good witness. So when you go somewhere, and I've been with friends and I'm like, oh yeah, did you see that one girl who walked by and she had that cute pink top on? And, you know, if something happened, and then my friends are like, what? How did you even see that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not saying that everybody has to be that aware. It just happens. It comes naturally. But people can work on that and have a better situational awareness, your surroundings, what's going on around you. But, you know, the funny thing is Harvard did a study and they said humans, 47% of our time is done on autopilot. Mm-hmm. So have you ever driven to like work or somewhere, the same thing you do every day, right?
Did I actually stop at that stop sign?
Yeah.
And at the end, yeah, you get to where you're going and you're like, I don't even remember driving to fucking work. Because you are like on the phone or watching, listening to something or like thinking about what you had to do at work or what have you. And then, or you come out and you're like, where the fuck did I park? And you're like, I'm in this row. Oh no, that was yesterday. I'm over here. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Unless you're coming out from the bar, then it might be legit. Who knows?
Well, yeah, a whole different podcast for that.
Right, exactly.
It's the whole autopilot thing. So it's helping you understand, like getting some self-awareness and having some situational awareness and being aware of your surroundings because we're so distracted, right? We're so distracted all the time.
So from that routine perspective, let me ask you this question, right? Because there's a lot of, we're blessed to have a little bit of an older audience as well.
Right.
So we do have some boomers. We do have some Gen X, some silent generations listen to the show, which is mind-blowing to me that we actually have some of those folks. But they get into a routine, they get into a habit, right? And they do the same thing over and over again. Tuesday, I do this. Wednesday, I do that. Thursday. So it becomes apparent to others to witness those habits and potentially right. take advantage. How do you suggest those habits be broken up so that way you are creating opportunity for being better aware of what's happening instead of just being stuck in your routine?
Well, the first thing I would say is we have the same route that we travel, you know, 90% of our lives, right? Whether it's to and from work, to and from school, to and from the gym, whatever. You take the same way every single time. You should always have at least three routes to get to your destination. A couple of reasons for that. One, if, and we experience this a lot in law enforcement, I would work on the freeway. The exit ramp was closed because there was a crash. There's people driving by. They'd stop. I have to go this way. I don't know any other way to go. And I'm like, well, keep going. You can get off the freeway and you can turn around. But we could, you can't sit there and talk to them and give them directions because you're in the process of taking care of the situation. And I'm like, no, but so many times they're like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're pre-programmed. They have to get off on that exit. And if they don't, they're going to like self-implode.
Right.
So, but finding alternate routes. And then the other reason for that, too, is to keep yourself safe, because if you only have one route, you're predictable. Now, if there's something going on or somebody's going to follow you or, you know, there's a situation where something gets ugly, they're going to know that Brad drives down this street every day. And at 3:15, he turns the corner. And then at 4 o'clock, he's pulling in his driveway or his garage. Then he walks down and gets his mail like every single like you're.
Are you stalking me? Are you stalking me?
Are you stalking me?
I just want to know. I just want to know, where's the surveillance cameras? That's all I want to know.
Oh, but that's one of the things. So when you start to do things like that and you start to become more self-aware, right? Glancing at your phone, maybe if you're, let's say you're traveling somewhere, you go to another state. Brad, me and you go visit Steve in Detroit, and we're going to walk from the hotel down to the bar. We're going to pull out our phones and we're going to do the GPS. But so many people are like staring at it and they're like, do, do, do. Well, what do you think the criminal's looking for? The easy target. And you just made yourself an easy target.
We're going to go to the pawn shop on 7 Mile Road.
Yes. But exactly. You know, too, it's like your stance, the way you walk and carry yourself. We call it stance and movement in the training aspect. So it's the way you stand. You're standing up straight. Your shoulders are back. You don't have to be like a board, but you know, and then you walk with confidence. So it's the way you stand. It's the way you walk. It's the way you look like, yeah, I'm like, don't fuck with me. I know my shit. Like, move on. You carry yourself a different way. And they don't look for people like that, you know?
How about workplace, right? So we talk to a lot of trades folks in our show, lots of construction, manufacturing. What's your suggestion for people to stay aware of their surroundings in a work environment, on a construction site, going to and from a job site, where you might be parked not in the same place all the time, or it's just different, or you're transient as an employee going to different places.
Right. So I would say, first and foremost, understand if you have a job, a particular office that you're going to. And, you know, in Wisconsin, Detroit too, it can be dark when you go into work and it can be dark when you leave, depending on what time of the year it is, right? Because our days are like this thing.
Yep.
So if you don't feel comfortable in that parking lot, talk to your managers or your owner and say, hey, look, is it possible to get a little bit more lighting or something, you know, a gate, a locking gate, something like that, right? So as business owners and as managers, you can help your employees feel safe and then feel better that you care about them, because I'm sure all of you watching do. And then they're feeling better because they're like, oh, it's well lit. So now when I go park, I'm going to park where it's well lit. And I'm going to, or like you said, park in a little bit different of a spot, but park close enough to the door where you feel safe coming out. The buddy system for sure, if you have somebody that you can walk in and out of work with. But going to job sites, again, parking where it's well lit, but also just do a brief search before you go to understand where you're going, what's around you. If you have to go a different way, you know, you're going to put in your GPS. They're going to tell you to take this street, go left, go right, and you're in the parking lot. But you go that way or something looks a little shady and you're like, I don't want to go that way. So you're going to go around the block and, you know, come through the back parking lot into the where you have to go in or what have you. But doing a little bit of research and having some understanding before you go is sometimes a game changer because now you're more confident. You're like, oh, I know where I'm going. I'm good. You know, and I think we get so accustomed to, like, I travel a lot. You get so accustomed to going somewhere and you're like, oh, it's fine. I'll get to the airport. I'll call an Uber. I'll throw it in my, I look at my phone. You know what I mean? We get so used to that. And sometimes you got to be like, wait a second. I gotta check this out first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when I was, I went to London in the fall by myself. So I took a bus from the outside, you know, out by the airport all the way down to downtown London. Then I walked for 3 miles. I looked at my phone. I kind of knew where I was going.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. So I was aware that I couldn't just sit there and look at my phone. So I literally had my phone. It was in my hand in my pocket as I'm walking. But just noticing how everyone was down looking at their phone and nobody was looking at, they weren't looking up. And so you could stop. And I actually stood in like one of the squares that were there and just observed how many people were not aware of this, their surroundings at all. And then I'm like picking out and I'm like, oh, I bet you that person's going to go pickpocket them. And yeah, I would literally watch them go do that. And it was just like, because you're not paying attention to anything.
Right.
You actually saw somebody go pickpocket somebody.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Awesome. Amazing.
It was amazing. I was like,
this is amazing. Like, hey, you stop.
He's taking it all in. Cause I was like, you know what?
You didn't call the bobbies or whatever they're called in London.
The police? They weren't around.
No.
Wow. Well, I think this
is cool.
With that too, you're missing out on like this beautiful whatever, like sightseeing, whatever, wherever you're at, right?
Yeah. So I was just like, I was just kind of blown away from just the sheer amount. To your point, when you're out walking around, of how many people truly aren't really paying attention to their surroundings,
right?
Yeah, I know. Right. When I went to China in 2012 and I traveled solo and it's like, okay, I'm there by myself and I'm trusting that I'm going to get the driver at the end with my name on the card. And we have an office and stuff over there, but it's like, okay, cool. And then we get here's the taxi driver taking me to the hotel and their rules of the road are way different than our rules of the road. Right. It's like, okay. And I'm watching like, And finally, when I realized that this is just how it is and I'm not in control and I see that there's not accidents everywhere and cars are all
right.
Like, okay, this is just their, how they can drive within their realm and their world.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you just got to trust that, yes, I'm a visitor, but be aware of what's all going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think another thing with getting back to like what people can do maybe at home, but also employers and business owners can do for their employees, their staff, or even their loved ones, you know, aside from getting the lighting, but you know, the Ring, I'll say Ring doorbells or Ring cameras, right? But you could probably get any type from Amazon nowadays. Mm-hmm. But having them out there and having the motion sensors and they're recording so it can pick up. I think just having that little level of safety, so to speak, makes people feel a little bit more comfortable and may deter someone from doing something that, you know, where they're walking into a place and it's dark, you know, the parking lot's dark, the lights are out, they've been out for 3 weeks. Oh, I'm going to mm-hmm. go. They don't give a shit. I'm going to go over here and, you know, carjack somebody.
Right.
Well, and how you were in law enforcement for many years. That tail end of your career, how many stupid things did you see that was recorded on video? Like, why would you do this when you know that everything's being recorded everywhere?
Right, Right. I mean,
everything is, something's being recorded everywhere. And now with all the traffic recordings and all the intersections and just all the things and all the houses, and it's like being able to track somebody is not that difficult anymore.
Not at all.
Right. Right.
Which is not comfortable from going from nobody knows where their kids are when we were growing up to,
yeah,
hey, we could probably track them about anywhere around the world now and instantaneously know what's going on.
Yeah.
Way freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is like an aspect of, like, not too long ago, someone's like, oh, I saw you on TV. I'm like, what? I was at a fundraiser. They saw me. I'm like, And I did not get in front of the camera. You know, I didn't speak at that one. But I think to your point, Brad, a lot of crashes or incidents that have happened on the city streets, Milwaukee Police Department has went to the neighbors and asked them for their Ring cameras and were able to solve or find the person who caused the crash or what have you because of the Ring doorbell cameras, which I think there are some neighborhoods where they go and they distribute them, right? So they must have got grant money. They go and distribute them. So now, I mean, that's a win-win. Right.
And I wish the news media would publish more of that. They talk about the accident, but they never talk about the recovery or they found the person or they did whatever. And here's how they found them.
Right.
Because it may deter things from happening if more people were aware.
I think the reason one point might be because some of the neighbors are like, I'm not telling. Because they're going to come after me. So I'll give you this footage, but you can't say how you got it, you know? So there's that weird balance of...
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yep. Steve, bite your tongue. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. New segment.
This will be fun.
The new segment called Bite Your Tongue. So has there ever been a situation or scenario that you've been in where you have said something and in reality you were like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that?
Yeah. Yeah. There has been.
You want to share one? Just one.
Share one. You don't need to share nine or 40 of them.
Well, let's see. I think when I was a deputy on the freeway, I pull over this guy for speeding and he's on a motorcycle. But it's weather like today, right? Well, for people who don't know what today is, because this could be summertime when this posts, right?
Yep.
It'd be like 10 degrees outside, 10 to 20 degrees outside, right? But he was all bundled up. And I, you know, write his ticket. I come back, I hand, and I'm like, you know, it's a little cold to be driving a motorcycle, don't you think? And I immediately bit my tongue because he looked at me like, bitch, this is the only fucking transportation I have. And I was
right.
I immediately felt bad. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm giving him a $150 ticket for speeding. I was like, oh, but.
Yeah. So he was even more late for work.
Yeah, right. Or wherever he was going. And colder because then he had to stop. Right.
Well played. Civic duty. Yay.
Take it to court. They'll reduce it.
So give us a little summary of the services that you're offering now that you are out of law enforcement and what you want to do and how you want to support the safety for women and others in your communities.
So one aspect is speaking and training engagements, which is getting in front of a room of, you know, women leadership groups, schools for students, whether it's men or women, and like the YMCA, you know, gyms, things like that. So people have just, my goal is to educate, to get people to understand and think about from a different perspective, right? I have a different perspective than most people because most people that are in business, if they weren't in law enforcement or military, right? You have like a different mindset.
Right.
And getting people to understand and going, oh, I never thought about it that way. Like a different perspective of it. So educating so they can understand, because then a couple of things that they can do in their daily lives, the stance and movement, walking with confidence, glance at your phone and put it away or just put it on the side where you can still hear it. So you're paying attention to your surroundings, being a little bit more self-aware, having that little bit of situational awareness. if you have that little gut feeling or the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up, something doesn't feel right, trust your gut. Trust your gut, because then you're like, so I knew something wasn't right.
And yet I still did the show with Steve.
Yep.
You did that, right? So those little things. So the training aspect of it, but then also for women who, let's say they just got a divorce or they bought a new house in a neighborhood they don't really know, doing home, what we call home assessments. And it's basically a home check. So I go through and I will check to make sure that, you know, your windows lock, your doors lock. Does somebody else have a lock? Well, let's change those just to be safe. We can get somebody in, and it's fairly inexpensive to get those changed. Getting you not just the Ring doorbell camera in the front of the house, but getting you that whole for your entire home, especially in the backyard, by the door, by the windows, and having the motion lights. You know, I said a Shark Tank idea I have is getting one of these Ring.
Don't tell everybody in our audience. They're gonna steal the idea.
Think about Kevin McAllister on Home Alone, right? And having you have something in your house, you go on vacation for 2 weeks and something like the lights come on and music starts blaring and people look like they're dancing.
I want the charcoal lighter on the doorknob. That's what I want.
Yes, yeah, they're like, Marv, someone's home.
Yep.
But in actuality, like, you know, making sure that their house and their home is secure. And then they have an extra layer of peace of mind, right? They have an enhanced peace of mind because now they're like, I actually do feel better that I know that nobody can get in, you know? Or are they going to bed going, oh, that faulty lock on the back door, you know, when they woke up, they just were able to pull the door open even though it was locked, you know, right? That type of thing. Yeah. And doing training and speaking sessions like that.
So how do people find you, book you, do those things?
I'm on LinkedIn under Catherine Trimboli. I'm also on Instagram. I mean, that's my personal page, but it's Kat Trimboli. And since I just retired in August of 24. So I'm in my infancy stages. I haven't created a website yet, but I will be very soon.
Okay. Awesome. I'm super excited that you were here to share because, and knowing that Steve was a witness to a crime, international crime now, could be a warrant for his arrest out here as an opportunity. So we do have a listening audience in London. So you may be criminally.
You might have saved someone's life.
Yeah, didn't happen.
So Catherine, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate your stories and your opportunity. And say hi to Dan for me when you talk to him.
I certainly will. Well. Thank you guys for having me. It was an honor.
Thank you.
Honor. Okay. All right. Have a great week. Thanks.
You too.